Society trying to rip your family apart, trying to rip your marriages apart, trying to rip friendships apart. And I want to be a warrior for God like this man. I want to say, I recognize what's going on. I'm not going to lay down. I'm not going to take it. I'm going to stand up and fight. I'm going to speak God's truth. I'm going to do whatever I need to do to make the most important things in life work. There are things in life worth fighting for, friends. Things in life worth fighting for. We've looked at two already. We've looked at family. We've looked at marriage. And this morning we're looking at the topic of friendships. Fighting for our friendships. When I was 24 years of age, I was a pastor at Tiara. I just started ministering. I'd been there maybe 2 or 3 weeks. And a couple of ladies, middle-aged ladies, came across the road to see me. And they said, Pastor, would you go and visit our dad? Dad's got 1 to 2 weeks to live. He doesn't know God. He's never shown an interest in God. He's a very successful businessman, very proud man. Go and talk to him about Jesus. So I crossed the road to this nice house and I sat down and explained the gospel. And something was happening, but nothing dramatic. Second time I went across, a couple of days later, I explained the gospel again and I prayed for him and he felt the presence of God and he got it. He just absolutely got it. He understood. There's pollution in his life and the only way to get rid of it was through Jesus. And he prayed the most sincere, repentant prayers on his deathbed. I kept visiting him for up to a week before he died and I took his funeral. And this is what he said. He said, Russell, I wish I knew Jesus earlier. I wish I hadn't spent my life looking after me and focusing on me and worrying what people think about me and getting more stuff for me. I wish I'd focused on God and I'd focused on relationship. And over the years, I've thought about that. I've never sat with anyone in that last week or two of life and they've said, you know what? Oh, when I look back over my life, I wish I had a bigger house. Oh, I wish I traveled to this country. Oh, I wish I was better at sport. No one ever says that when you're a pastor and you're sitting by them in the last weeks of life. What they say, if there's a regret, it's usually this. I wish I made more time for God and more time for relationships. When you're lying on your deathbed, when you're reflecting on life, you realize that's the most important thing of all. It's not things, it's not prestige, it's relationships. And I want to say to you, friends, life, in this life, it's worth fighting for relationships. I've seen a lot of people, particularly in Auckland, who are 60, 70, 80 plus, and they're lonely. And I'll tell you why they're lonely. Because when they were young, they're too busy for relationships. And when they're middle-aged, they're too busy for relationships. And when they get old, there's no relationships to comfort and support and give perspective. And being old in those years alone is a tragic thing. God didn't intend that for you. He didn't intend it for me. He didn't intend it for anybody. Relationships are important. One of the greatest tasks in life is to build great friendships. And if you don't build them when you're young, if you don't build them when you're middle age, you're going to regret it deeply in your senior years. One of the main lessons that God wants us to learn is that in life is how to love people. You know, what are we meant to learn in this life? Well, yes, we've got skills and yes, we've got ambitions, but your biggest lesson is how to love. And you can't learn how to love in isolation. You need to get close to people and let them into your life and deliberately build lasting friendships. I want to give you 5 reasons why it's worth fighting for awesome friendships. 5 reasons quickly. Number 1, for spiritual growth. It's worth your time to build friendships for your spiritual growth. You cannot become Christ-like on your own. Did you know there's over 58 times in the New Testament it says, this is what Christianity looks like, and it uses the phrase one another. Oh, serve one another, pray for one another, forgive one another. You cannot grow spiritually. You cannot experience Christianity unless you're close to people. Unless you're connected with people and you're going to hang in through the good seasons and the bad seasons. You need friends to help you accomplish spiritual growth in life. Romans chapter 1 and verse 12. I want us to help each other with the faith we have. Your faith will help me and my faith will help you. You know what I find amazing? There are areas in life where I've got tremendous faith and areas in life where I've got a lot of growing to do. But in those areas in life where I've got a lot of growing to do, I can find other people who are strong in that area. And they help me. And they help me. I need you and you need me. And that's the way God designed it. Why else should we fight for awesome relationships? Why else should we fight for awesome friendships? Number two, for emotional support. Life is a journey, and you need companions. And in this journey, you'll find VDPs and VIPs. You'll find very dependent people and very inspirational people. Chelsea, when she was doing the painting, explaining it, she said, some people pull you down. Some people drain you. Some people pull you back into things we shouldn't have a part of, the old way of life. Very dependent people. But there are very inspirational people too. And we need to be careful not to have too many VDPs in our life and surround ourselves with VIPs and be like VIPs to the people around us. We need great relationships for emotional support. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ, which is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Number three, for better health. The Bible says, and science confirms, that having close friendships keeps you healthy. It improves your health. And the reason behind it is, if you've got a close friend and you're getting bitter, you're getting upset, you're getting stressed out, and you can unload that to a confidant, you can unload that to a real friend, that does wonders for your health and your well-being and your sleep and your digestive system, all sorts of things. So it helps to have good friends. You have better health. In James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, admit your faults to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. How do I get forgiven? I go straight to the Lord. Father, forgive me. Help me go 180 degrees on this issue, and he'll forgive me straight away. But how do I process that stuff and become healthier and freer? I bring into the light the things that have been kept in the dark. And there's a healing that takes place. I believe it can be physical. It's certainly emotional and spiritual. If I confess my sins, when I have the joy of bringing people into God's kingdom, I say, if you've got an addiction, if there's something you're really struggling with, don't just talk to God about it. Please confess it to me or another person. When it's brought to the light, the power's broken over it, and healing can take place. Number four, for social enjoyment. We need friends to have fun, and I'm really grateful that we've got the Scotties and people like that in our church. I'm really grateful for the people in our church who have fun. And I believe when you're close to God, the presence of God brings joy, it brings freedom, and fun should be a natural part of being a Christian. Even if you have all the money in the world or the success in the world, without friends to enjoy them, life is pretty awful. And we see that on the news all the time, famous, wealthy people ending their lives tragically. When you have an awesome friend, the joys in your life are doubled, and the stresses in your life, the sorrows are halved because you share them with your friend. Number five, why fight for awesome friendships? To reach your goals. If you think you can reach your goal on your own, your goal's too small. That's not what you're designed for. When God puts dreams into your heart, visions into your heart, it's always unachievable on your own. You can't do it on your own. You need God and you need other people. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9, often read at weddings. Two people are better than one because they get more done by working together. It's absolutely true. When Graham joins a church, when people form a team, there's so much more takes place in that dynamic than what the individuals could ever achieve. I believe the best place to make awesome friendships, if you want to make awesome friendships, is a church. Are people in church perfect? No. But they have a grace about them. They're willing to learn about other people. They look at themselves not with pride, but with an attitude of grace. God has been good to me. God's been good to you. We've got the same Father. If we've got the same Dad and we've received grace, that's the best place to form the deepest and the strongest friendships. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 12 is a verse that I bet you were told when you grew up. How many people know the golden rule off by heart? How many people heard that when you were teenagers? Your parents mentioned it when you were teenagers or children? I'll read it to you in a modern translation. Do for others what you would like them to do for you. This summarizes all that's taught by the law and the prophets. Put it another way, do for others what you'd like them to do for you. Treat other people the way you'd like to be treated. That's the golden rule. Now, if you apply that principle to our society, which is totally self-centered, you're going to make great friends. You're going to stand out from the crowd. What do people do today? They socialize to get. They socialize to get their needs met, to get applause, to get acclamation, to get recognition, to get lots of likes, you know. But the Christian goes into society, the Christian goes into the place socially and says, what can I do to serve you? Not about me, it's not about selfishness, it's not about my pride and my ego and my self-esteem. The Christian says, look, I want to learn about you. I want to serve you. I want to get to know you. That's countercultural. What does the golden rule look practically? Number one, invest the time. Awesome friendships don't happen by accident. They come about because someone was intentional and chose to make it happen. Awesome friendships are not cheap. You must choose to invest time. In this society, how hard is it to carve out time for people and catch up on folk and follow them through and get to know them deeply? Proverbs 18, verse 24. A man that has friends shows himself friendly. When my kids were growing up, I'd say to the kids, look, when you go into that new class or when you go to that new place, don't wait for them to come to you, you go to them. And you have in your mind an expectation that they're going to like you. And you go and show an interest in them. You show yourself friendly. Sometimes people go to a new home group, they go to the church, they visit somewhere, and they stand back and say, oh, are people going to be nice here? Are people going to reach out to me? That's not what God wants you to do. Whether you've been in a place a long time or you're there for the first time, you step out. You walk across the room. You initiate the conversation. That's what God wants you to do. Invest time. Show yourself to be friendly. Philippians 2 verse 4 says, do not be interested in your own life. Be interested in the lives of others. Don't ramble on about your own stories. And as we get older, we get a lot of stories. I've got a lot of stories. But don't ramble on about your stories. Ask questions and listen and show respect to other people. Really be interested in what's happening in their lives. How else do we build awesome friendships? Be as earn the trust of the other person. Without trust, there's no friendship. Now, you might say, I've got lots of people who are friends, really? Would you trust them with your car keys? Would you trust them with your house? Would you trust them to look after your kids or your grandkids? If the answer is yes, then they're friends. But if there's no trust, that's not friendship. That's an acquaintance. That's something a lot shallower than true friendship. Here's what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. Many people claim to be a friend, but it's rare to find someone who's trustworthy. Boy, if I want to build awesome friendships, I want to be that trustworthy person to those folk I'm building relationships with. People don't give trust automatically. You've always got to earn it. And that's why good friendships, awesome friendships, don't happen automatically. They take time. You have to earn the person's trust. What does that look like biblically? Three ways you can earn trust. By being reliable. Proverbs 17, verse 17 says, a friend loves you all the time. Not sometimes, not when they've got energy and when there's availability. They're not here today and gone tomorrow. And yes, they might turn up. No, they won't. You know, a friend's reliable. A friend's going to be with you through the good seasons and the bad. They love you all the time. Number two, we earn trust by being loyal. It's a term that's not used very often. In fact, in this consumer society, people go to places, whether it's churches or places of business or sporting clubs or whatever it is, and there's very little commitment to the people there. And when we don't get what we want, when we feel our needs aren't being met, we just up and change. That's what society does. And yet loyalty is a quality our grandparents had. Our grandparents taught. And loyalty is a quality that builds trust. It's worth gold in relationship. We earn trust, we earn people's respect by being loyal, by being reliable. And thirdly, by keeping confidences. You can help others trust you and become awesome friends to you by being reliable, by being loyal, and by keeping confidences. Your friends need to know that you're a safe person to unload their stuff to, that you're not going to pass it on even to your spouse, even to your prayer partner. That when they share something with you, when they confess something to you, it's stopping just with you and with God. It's not going any further. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13. No one who gossips can be trusted, but you can put confidence in someone who's trustworthy. A third way you can build awesome friendships is to listen with empathy. I think that's probably the most difficult skill we learn in life. It's one that benefits your friendships, it benefits your marriage, it benefits your work environment. We're so quick to talk, we're so quick to tell, we're so quick to jump in and to fix. But listening shows the other person real respect and real love. There's a huge difference between just listening and truly hearing the other person when you listen to them. James chapter 1 verse 19 says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And I've realized this, that if I'm quick to listen, if I'm focused on that person, and if I'm slow to speak, I'm going to be slow to anger, aren't I? If I follow the instructions of James in the Bible, listen, prioritize the other person, carefully hold back on your words, let God inspire the words so you can speak the truth in love, then anger is very unlikely to come next. It means put yourself in the other person's shoes. It means listen to their fears and feelings for the things they aren't saying. It's learning their point of view and what it must feel like to be in that situation. I saw this video clip on YouTube about a year ago, and we'll have a look at it now. It's not about the nail.
Feel it in my head, and it's relentless, and I don't know if it's going to stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever going to stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen. No,
see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out... See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... Sometimes it's like... There's this achy... I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
Yeah, that sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Oh, come on. Ow. If you would just...
Don't!
Try to see things my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I...
Seriously, and particularly for us blokes, we're wired to fix things. We show love by fixing the problems. And showing empathy takes a lot of skill. It takes a lot of listening. And it builds up true friendships. The fourth thing we can do to really build awesome friendships is to accept other people's flaws. Accept their flaws. Every one of us has faults. We have our failings, we have weaknesses, we have defects. Nobody's perfect. Romans 5 verse 7 says, accept each other just as Christ accepted you. And what does it mean to accept someone? It's not saying, oh, I accept this bad behavior. It's not saying, I'm okay with the sin that you're doing. Oh, I'm okay with the way you talk to your spouse or your kids in that nasty tone. That's not saying that at all. It's saying, I accept you as a person. Those things need dealing with. Only God can fix a person. You can't fix them. God can fix them. But there's an acceptance. I remember a stage in my life where I woke up and I thought, wow, what do I do? And God said, just love. Don't fix, just love. Best advice I could get in my prayer. So hard to do because we're wired to fix, we're wired to do things, but we need to accept each other. You're accountable to God for you. You can't change your mate, you can't change your spouse, you can't change your boss. You can love God and serve God in all those relationships. And become an awesome friend by just accepting other people. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9. This is a beauty. Overlooking a person's faults cultivates love, but nagging about them destroys friendships. How good is that? Love covers a multitude of sins. And it takes love. It takes love to accept and to overlook a person's faults. The next thing we can do to build awesome friendships is celebrate the wins and share the losses. This is really important in developing awesome friendships. Romans 12, verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. In an awesome friendship, you learn to do both. You learn to celebrate not just the good things that happen to you, but the good things that happen to others. I was thinking the other day about, I guess in an average week, there might be three or four things that really happen which are big answers to prayer or just seem like great blessings. And so if I was just happy when good things happen to me, I'd probably be happy three or four days a week. But what if I'm happy when good things happen to you or to somebody else in the family? What if I'm so connected with you and enjoying you and being part of the body with you that when you're happy and something blesses you and you get a promotion, or you fall in love, or a ministry is birthed out of your life, and it hasn't happened to me, but I'm your family, and we're part of the same body, and if I celebrate, and I find joy in how God blesses you, then I can be happy every hour, every day, for the rest of my life. Isn't that better? Self-focus, oh, some happiness. Kingdom focus, we can be happy all the time. Celebrate the wins. Celebrate the wins we have in each other's life and support each other through the hard times. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26. If one part of the body suffers, all the other parts share in its suffering. And if one part is praised, all the other parts share in its success. Finally, bring out the best in others. To be an awesome friend, work at bringing out the best in others. Nobody can be all that they were intended to be, all that they were called to be, unless their friends build them up, unless their friends encourage them. Proverbs 27, verse 17. Just as iron sharpens iron, friends sharpen the minds of each other. Proverbs 24, 26. An honest answer is a sign of a true friendship. Now just think for a moment, how many true friends have you really got? How many people would truly come up to you and say, oh, sister, oh, brother, I think you're getting a bit distracted here. I think you're going a bit off track. I think this focus is not so helpful for you. I think the way you spoke to that person wasn't quite right. That takes courage. I mean, if you love somebody that much, if you're going to be that kind of a friend, they could reject you. They could throw it back in your face. But that's what awesome friends do. Awesome friends are there to say, you know what? You're saying you're going to do this for God, but I believe it's a bigger vision. Awesome friends also say, wow, you're going this way, not the way you were called to go. You seem to be making a mistake, and I love you enough to speak to you about it and challenge you on it and say, this isn't who you were called to be. There's a better way and a better life than this. How many awesome friends do you have in your life right now? See, the reality is if you've only got one or two or three, you can be the instigator. You can invest in people and have multiple awesome friends into the future. Proverbs 27, verse 5 says, a truly good friend will openly correct you. And I want to say to your church, you might have people that will do that for you now. I hope you have. I hope you've got friends that love you enough that can challenge you and stretch you and put you back on track when you're going off track, because we need them. But I really hope and pray that you and I will be those friends to multiple people in the years ahead too. I often have this sense when I'm praying for the city and just praying about Christianity and the kingdom of God that there's just a cultural move of things which are against the kingdom. And we see it like with the abortion reform bill at the moment. We see crazy ideas, things the Bible says is wrong, the world says it's very right. You know, how are we going to stand against that? How are we going to show a different type of relationship and set a different standard? You're not going to do it on your own. You don't stand against a great tide on your own. But if you've got awesome friendships, maybe in your home group, maybe in your ministry team, if you work at developing awesome friendships, I believe we can turn it around. I believe particularly if we start with the kids, we're going to make a huge difference in this generation. But we can turn it around through politics. We can turn it around through prayers. We can set a different standard to what people have seen. and God will bless you and use you, and you will not be lonely, and you'll not be empty, you'll not be lacking for joy, because you're connected to his body through awesome friendships. Would you stand, please? Would you close your eyes with me? As their heads are bowed and their eyes are closed, God knows the people in this room that are lonely right now. God knows the people in this room who've got maybe one friend or half a friend, and they're feeling isolated, they're feeling vulnerable. They're feeling like they can't achieve the things God's asked them to achieve. I speak to those people first, and I say, you be the friend. You be the one that conveys true friendship. You be the one that invests time. You be the one that's reliable and trustworthy and empathetic. You be the friend to other people, and you'll have friends to walk with for the rest of your life. Father, in this church, in this room, you know the ones right now that are going through really difficult times. Maybe it's cancer. Maybe it's people in the family that just are behaving badly. God, you know what's going on. Lord, the enemy likes to pick us off when we're isolated. He likes to grind us down when we stand alone. Lord, for those people going through hard times right now, give them a determination to stand shoulder to shoulder with real friends, to share the hard times and half the hard times and see the power of prayer and experience the encouragement of real friendships. Lord, for those people where they might naturally want to pull away from folk and go into a dark corner, may they do the opposite through the impression of your Spirit. May they push into fellowship and, Lord, find support in it. Father, right now, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, Lord, there are people who are just so happy in our church because you're good. Because you're good. You answer our prayers, some of them way before we expected, and some even before we asked. And Lord, they're celebrating joy. They're celebrating love. They're celebrating provision. They're celebrating healing. Father, may we celebrate with those people. May their joy be our joy. May the focus not be on us, but on each other, Lord, to share burdens and celebrate joys together. Lord, as we leave this place, give us a determination to work at awesome friendships and be a true family, the family of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you, my friends. Would love you to stay for a coffee or for lunch. If you haven't come prepared, stay for lunch anyway. Our church family will always give a koha, but everyone's welcome.